Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
And welcome to our Friday broadcast. Cy Kellett is on assignment out with the gang, getting ready for the Catholic Answers cruise, which is going to be a fantastic event. And I'm Jerry Usher, blessed, honored, thrilled to be able to fill in again today on the program, launching 2 hours of your phone calls, your questions. We got a different topic each hour here today on this Friday afternoon. In hour number two, our good friend Dr. Ray Guarendi, he is host of The Doctor Is In. He is going to be talking about discipline that lasts a lifetime, disciplining with love, with conviction, with firmness, but really all with a view to shaping the minds and hearts of our children, because discipline is very, very misunderstood, I think, in today's world, and especially with a lot of political correctness and that sort of thing. And of course, the Bible talks about God disciplining us as His children, and we certainly want our young loved ones to color between the lines and not grow up to be out of control like really so many people in the world today. So the urgency of understanding the discipline question, I think, is very, very great, and we'll talk about that with Dr. Ray Guarendi in hour number two. Here on the first hour, Shane Kapler is going to join us. We're going to talk about, well, many, many things, the book of Hebrews in general, but also we're going to zero in on what the book of Hebrews says about the communion of saints. So if you have ever picked up the Bible and you wanted to get into the book of Hebrews, we don't even actually really know who wrote the letter to the Hebrews, but it is an absolutely beautiful book. Shane is going to explain for us how he finds some core beliefs, the seven core beliefs of Catholicism in that epistle. So if you have any question at all about the letter to the Hebrews, what it says, the theology contained in there, how it really backs up Catholic beliefs and practices so very, very much, please give us a call, 888-318-7884. I'm giving out the phone number of my show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. 888-318-7884 is the number. And again, a specific focus today on the communion of saints. So if you're a Catholic, a non-Catholic, someone who wants to know a little bit more about what the Church teaches with regard to how that mystical union binds together all of those who have ever lived and been redeemed by Christ, whether they're in heaven, purgatory, or on earth, we can talk about the communion of saints as well. 888-318-7884. All right, I'm getting long-winded here. Shane Kapler is, for 30 years, he's been involved in evangelism and catechesis in the Archdiocese of St. Louis. He's coordinated programs for the RCIA and Ongoing Faith Formation. He's the author of a number of books, including The Epistle to the Hebrews and The Seven Core Beliefs of Catholics, published in 2016. And that is the book that we're going to focus on today on the program. Shane, welcome. Sorry to take so long to get to you.
Not at all. Thanks for having me, Jerry.
Yeah, being that you're in St. Louis there, I got an email from probably a mutual friend, Patty Schneier, the other day. You know Patty?
Yeah, Patty's in my parish.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, her son John was just ordained to the priesthood. I was so thrilled to see that. You must all
yes.
be basking in the beauty of some new priests there in St. Louis.
We are, and for John to be ordained, it's just really beautiful to have that in our parish and be able to show that to my son, who's 16, and, kind of get him thinking along those lines of discerning. So very good stuff.
Good. Well, we're so glad you joined us today, Shane. And we're going to, again, invite our listeners to call 1-888-318-7884. Looking at the book of Hebrews today, letter to the Hebrews. And in particular, it's beautiful how it lays out the communion of saints. 888-318-7884. But Shane, I mentioned that also you look in the epistle of the Hebrews and you find what you see are seven core Catholic beliefs. Why don't you just at least, itemize those for us here, and perhaps we can unpack some of them as the show goes on.
Sure. Well, we know at Vatican II and in the Catechism, it talks about in our faith there's a hierarchy of truths. And when we go through the Epistle to the Hebrews, I think we can see seven of these core beliefs, these foundational beliefs that all of our other beliefs and doctrine as Catholics rest upon. Beginning at the start of the letter, the Trinity, we also see Jesus' full humanity, the Word of God, it's both written and unwritten. We see salvation comes to us by grace through faith, and it's Christ's priesthood that saves us. The communion of saints is the fifth belief that I look at in the book, and then the Eucharist, and finally the authority of the Church's ordained leaders.
Well, that, you know, and that's a lot right there. I mean, that's kind of like a catechism in the Epistle to the Hebrews, and we could really unpack each and any one of them. Is there a favorite one? I mean, does something when you examine and study and meditate on the letter to the Hebrews, is there something that you just really makes your heart pound with excitement?
Yeah, I would say it's Jesus' humanity in the Epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews has some of the most gritty language to describe Jesus, his incarnation, the reality of it, that he is not only the Son of the Father from all eternity, but he became a man and he lived among us. And he knows what it is to pray and to petition the Father as a man, to suffer, to be tempted in every way that we are, but not to succumb to those temptations. Jesus has walked that path that every one of us is called to. When he prayed to be delivered in the Garden of Gethsemane, Hebrews tells us that Jesus' prayer was heard because of his reverence. But we know that it was heard and answered on the other side of the cross in the resurrection, that the Lord had to pass through his passion to receive that glorification. And to me, that's a part of the letter that I just keep coming back to.
Catholic Answers Live, Jerry Usher hosting for Cy today, and Shane Kapler with us this hour talking about his wonderful book. It's called The Epistle to the Hebrews and the Seven Core Beliefs of Catholics, 888-318-7884. Hebrews is just it's so rich and such a beautiful letter, as of course all of the books of the Bible are. But if you have a question in particular about something that maybe you love especially about Hebrews, or maybe it's puzzled you, caused you to kind of scratch your head and say, well, you know, what does this mean, or how does this fit into our life even today as Catholic Christians? And especially we're going to look at chapter 5 where it gets into the communion of saints, 888-318-7884. Before we talk about the saints and jump into that, Shane, you actually you like to say that in Hebrews chapter 10 is what you call the clearest statement in the New Testament regarding the plan of salvation. So why don't you just spend a couple minutes on that for us?
Oh, thank you. Well, we know that as we go through the New Testament, there are different passages that people point to saying salvation is by faith, and they like to say it's faith alone. And we Catholics can point to other passages that talk about the necessity of works, the Eucharist, you know, to receive Christ's body and blood. Baptism, of course, is necessary. Well, when we look at Hebrews 10, 19 through 25, I think that this brings together all the elements like no other passage that we find in the New Testament. It starts out, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the heavenly sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way which he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh." So the first step in our salvation is Jesus' life offered to the Father in the power of the Spirit. That's what merits salvation for the human race. And the author goes on, "Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." So we're united to Christ, and we first receive salvation through the free gifts, absolutely free, of faith and baptism. The author continues, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of them, but encouraging one another." And so salvation grows in us as Jesus' life grows in us through grace-filled works, active membership in his body, and participation in the church's Eucharist and sacramental life. We have to keep meeting together. And finally, the author concludes, he says, "but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So we do this, we live this life until we are united with Jesus in heaven. and then share his bodily resurrection on the last day. And that's final salvation. So, yeah, Jerry, that's this one passage for me. I think that is the clearest presentation and plan here in the New Testament. I remember a gentleman on Facebook about a year ago was asking me to give him a verse that was the Catholic plan of salvation. When I shared this with him, he just came back with, well, I can see why you'd go there. And that's pretty much where the conversation ended.
Well, and before we get our first break here, I think I misspoke. I said chapter 5 of Hebrews. I should have meant chapter 5 of your book, which is the one that deals on the communion of saints. It's chapter 12, is that right, of Hebrews that really has this beautiful exposition of who our brothers and sisters are in the faith, the saints?
Yes, sir. Chapters 11 and 12, that's where I really focus in the book on unpacking the communion of saints.
All right. Well, give us a 60-second snapshot of why that's important to us, why you think the author to the Hebrews put all of that in there, and what benefit do we derive from that today? Before we go into the break, I just want to kind of tease people with that. We can talk about more on the other side.
Okay. Well, he's writing to Jewish Christians who've been ostracized from the temple, the synagogue, and from their families because of their faith in Christ. And he points out to them in chapter 11, what people call the Faith Hall of Fame, how it's been par for the course, these difficulties with God's people from the beginning. And he calls to mind all these great heroes of faith, Noah, Abraham, David, Rahab, how God spoke to them and they acted and they saw deliverance because of that. And so he encourages us. He tells us that because we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, all these Old Testament saints who've entered into God's cloud of glory in heaven, they invisibly surround us and they root us on and they long for our salvation. And then in chapter 12, it goes on to talk about how when we draw near to the Father in prayer, we're drawing near not to the temple in Jerusalem that was just an image of heaven, a blueprint of it. We enter in spirit into heaven itself with the Lord Jesus. And as we approach the Father's throne, we don't just find there the Lord Jesus and the angels, but the spirits of just men made perfect. That's the communion of saints. And in a nutshell, it's important to us because these brothers and sisters, they've already won the battle. They encourage us. But also, as we'll see after the break, they participate in Christ's priestly intercession for the other members of the body for us here on earth. So in a nutshell, that's what I'm seeing in the Epistle to the Hebrews for us.
Awesome. Good stuff. Shane Kapler with us here on Catholic Answers Live. And you, we are going to join you with your phone calls next. We have a line open that is 888-318-7884. We're looking at the letter, the Epistle to the Hebrews, and we're zeroing in on chapters 11 and 12, the Communion of Saints. And dear friends, if you haven't read it, at least in a while, pick it up again because it just calls to mind and heart our older brothers and sisters in Christ, who have led the way in the Old Testament, kind of that Hall of Fame that Shane was talking about, and just really gives us that sense of communion that we are family with God. 888-318-7884. Back to take your calls. Just a minute. Stay with us.
This is Bishop James Conley of the Diocese of Lincoln. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers, and I have a question for you. What if there were an easy and regular way for you to get better month by month and year by year at defending your faith? What if this way were inexpensive and delivered right to your home? There is. It's called Catholic Answers Magazine, and each issue is a lively and engaging lesson in apologetics and evangelization. And right now, we are holding our annual subscription drive so you can save big off the regular price. Subscribe today at 818-487-2011 or online at Catholic.com. Sign up for a one-year subscription and we'll give you $10 off the regular price. But wait, there's more. Subscribe for 2 years and we'll cut $20 off the regular price and send you a customized Catholic Answers flash drive containing audio lectures from Tim Staples, Carlo Broussard, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, and a talk from me on one of my favorite saints, Catherine of Siena. That's a savings of $20 plus five brand new audio presentations when you sign up for a 2-year subscription to Catholic Answers Magazine at 818-487-2011 or Catholic.com today.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In John 21:15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He asked him the same question 2 more times. The third time, Peter was distressed and answered, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." After each of Peter's answers, Jesus told him to feed and tend his sheep. Then Jesus told him that in old age, he would lose the independence of his youth. Someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus is really showing us what he expects of any disciple. Do we love him? And not just as our God, but as our friend. Is he on our mind frequently? Not only when we want something, when we are mainly concerned with ourselves, but with him, with what he wants. How much does he matter to us in the choices we make each day? I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Okay, we have Shane Kapler with us here on the program this hour. Again, hour number two, Dr. Ray Guarendi takes a look at disciplining with love. We want to administer discipline that lasts a lifetime, as he calls it, with our children. So that's hour number two. Right before we go to your calls, I want to mention that the annual Catholic Answers Magazine subscription drive, it has kicked off for this year. It is it's an epic event. And basically, what you need to know is that it is bigger and better than ever. If you sign up for one year of Catholic Answers Magazine, you're going to get $10 off the normal price. So that's already a fantastic deal right there. But if you like to just kind of plan ahead, get a couple of year subscription going, not have to worry about renewing after 1 year, you'll save $20 right now. And Catholic Answers will be happy to send you a customized flash drive that has 5 talks from top Catholic speakers at Catholic Answers. You got Christopher Check, the president, Tim Staples, Trent Horn, Carlo Broussard, and Catholic Answers live host Cy Kellett. And subscriptions, you get the discount and the flash drive if you're overseas as well. So no matter where in the world you are, this is the time to sign up for Catholic Answers Magazine. If you never have before, you will find out what you've been missing and save big and get that flash drive. You can get details at CatholicAnswersMagazine.com or toll free 1-844-589-1597, 844-589-1597, or CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Okay, our calls now for Shane Kapler. Mark is in Gilroy, California. You're up first, Mark. Thanks for your patience there. How are you?
Yeah, thanks. So, very well.
Good.
I have read a book 6 or 7 times through by a former priest. And I was baptized at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, by the way, in Redwood City. But this priest's name was Charles Chittick, and he later joined our church, the Presbyterian Church. He wrote 2 books, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, and then the sequel for his last 40 years of life, he died at 90, was 40 Years in the Church of Christ. And I read that book once, and I was wondering what you thought of him.
To be honest with you, I remember picking up a copy of 50 Years in the Church of Rome 20 years ago and leafing through it a bit. Honestly, I didn't find his arguments to be very convincing. But like I said, all I did was leaf through it. I haven't made a study of it, so I can't really comment on it too much. Did you have a question about the Epistle to the Hebrews or the Communion of Saints, Mark?
Excuse me?
Yeah, did you have a question about the topic today, Mark? We're talking about the letter to the Hebrews and in particular kind of zeroing in on its treatment of the Communion of Saints. Was there something that Shane can help you with on that topic?
Well, in chapter 9 of Hebrews, it says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this comes the judgment." And I am really glad that I'm not going to be judged for my sins because Jesus did pay for my sins fully. And so, he must have paid for them fully or he wouldn't have raised on the third day, right?
So I'm saying it's by grace. You're totally saved by the grace of God, not by our good works.
Okay. Shane, what is your take on Hebrews' treatment of that?
Well, Mark, I would say that we agree with you that we're saved by Christ's grace. And yes, Jesus' death on the cross is what pays the eternal price of our sins. But Mark, that grace that saves us is a grace that is at work in us, that is recreating Christ's life, that gives us the power to endure persecution. Because as you realize, Hebrews tells us again and again, like beginning in chapter 3, take care, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Exhort one another as long as it's today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ if only we hold our first confidence firm to the end. And we could go on, Mark, looking at passages in Hebrews 10, Hebrews 12, where it says that God disciplines us so that we may share his holiness, the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. So it's God's grace at work in us, but it's a transformative grace. As Paul says in Galatians, that this is a faith which expresses itself in love. And as you know, as we look at James' epistle, which dovetails in with everything we're talking about, that a faith that is not active, that's no faith at all. That's not a faith that saves. We're saved by a faith that works, that God's grace is evident in our lives. Jesus says, you will abide in me and you will bear fruit. Any branch that does not bear fruit is cut off. So, brother, I would say we've got to really take the complete word of God and let the whole truth speak to us. In the short time that we have, that's all I can really say, Mark.
Yeah, Mark. Excuse me. I hope that is at least a little bit of help to you. I really encourage you, Mark, if you want further discussion on some of the, you obviously have some difficulties with what the Catholic Church teaches. I mean, you're listening to Catholic radio, so that's, we certainly, thank God for that, and we hope that it's a blessing to you. Catholic Answers has a staff of people who could spend any length of time with you off the air that you would like, and that phone number is 619-387-7200. That's business hours, Pacific time, and you live on the West Coast, so that would be convenient for you. 619-387-7200. And we are truly blessed, Mark, that you're listening. Thank you, and feel free to call the program anytime. Next up is Anonymous. We're going up to Buffalo Grove, Illinois. Hi, Anonymous. Welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello, you're on
Hello,
the air.
Hello, yes.
Hi. My name. I'm Anonymous. I had a question out here. I think just on the last show there was a topic. There was a program, and there was a lady who had commented on the when Hebrews women refused to accept persecution dead, that verse I seen was specifically connected to a deuterocanonical book in the Old Testament, where it specifically stated, where I think it was Judith or Tobit or something like that, one of those books, and women refused to accept their dead. And the reason why they refused to accept the dead was because the thing was they refused to eat pig's flesh. So that is a specific connection why, and then the discipline came out in that, and they said they refused to, they didn't receive the promise. The promise was eternal life. Now, they follow the truth, but they have not received the promise of eternal life there. That was the quotation from in Hebrews. So I don't know the specific, because actually I'm driving right now. I don't know the specific quotation, but I would have given that to you. So I just want to know what your comments so that I can respond to it. If I have any further questions, I can ask you also.
All right. Well, if you don't mind, Shane, I'll just jump in here since we have that hard break coming up here. And Anonymous in Buffalo Grove, hang on. You have laid that out, I think, very well. Shane has a minute or two to ponder that. And we will come right back and assist you as best we can. And then we have John in Oceanside, Tom in Baldwin, Missouri as well. Shane Kapler with us here talking about the book of Hebrews, Communion of Saints in particular. You could join the conversation at 1-888 318-7884, 888-318-7884. Back with more of your calls for Shane in just a minute.
This is Dr. Scott Hahn, and stay tuned for more Catholic Answers Live.
All people are called to communion with Christ in the church that he founded.
People really gravitate to David Anders and his concern for the callers. That's not just talk. He really means it.
Tom and I are both converts. We've walked that path, and we try to walk it with the listeners at whatever stage of the journey they're on.
It's EWTN's first weekly radio-to-TV talk show, Call to Communion with Dr. David Anders, tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Television.
As legend tells it, 500 years ago, a disaffected Augustinian priest nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral. The evidence that he actually did this is pretty thin, but Martin Luther's objections to Catholic teachings concerning purgatory and indulgences set off a series of countless ruptures that the church suffers to this very day. The faithful Catholic wants to be God's instrument in healing these ruptures, but may not know where to begin. Join us this September 28th to 30th as we tackle the topic at Catholic Answers' 4th National Apologetics Conference, the Reunion of All Christians, a lively and inspiring conference designed to ignite and inform your faith. We've got an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to fire you up. Catholic historian Steve Weidenkopf, apologist Mark Brumley, apologist Devin Rose, plus all of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. This is an event you don't want to miss. This is where it all begins. Join us this September for a conference that is sure to leave you wanting more. Seats are still available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register. That's CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Good to have you along today, Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett, and we're going back to your calls for Shane Kapler. He is our guest in this first hour of Catholic Answers Live. Among his many books, a 2016 publication, The Epistle to the Hebrews and the Seven Core Beliefs of Catholics. And Shane, I'm sure people will find that at probably very good, reputable Catholic bookstores. Who's the publisher of that, by the way?
excuse me. It's Angelico Press.
Okay. Good. Folks, look for that, The Epistle to the Hebrews and the Seven Core Beliefs of Catholics. I mean, just that finding and learning about those seven core beliefs that Shane has really identified and drawn out would be a very edifying read for anyone who wants to pick that up. 888-318-7884. Okay, Shane, anonymous in Buffalo laid out the question about the unclean foods, and you've had a little bit of time to ponder that. So take it away.
Right. Big subject you brought up, because Hebrews, it does reference 2 Maccabees 7, 1 through 42, which, of course, is one of the deuterocanonical books, which our Protestant brothers and sisters don't recognize as part of the Old Testament, but the author of Hebrews would. So, and in that, we read about brothers who, when the Jews were being persecuted by King Antiochus IV, he was trying to force them to give up their traditional laws, the law of Moses. And we know part of the law of Moses regarded clean and unclean foods. So here are these seven brothers who, rather than eat unclean food, their mother encourages them to undergo martyrdom. And they do, one after the other, each brother watching the one before him give up his life to remain faithful to God's law. This is an example to us to remain faithful to Christ despite anything that the world throws at us. So our caller's question was, why would it have been permissible, or why are these men being extolled for undergoing martyrdom rather than eat unclean foods when we Christians today, we don't follow Jewish dietary laws anymore? Well, okay. Under the Old Covenant, that was part of the Old Covenant. It was a matter of discipline. And so because God had asked that of the Jewish people, rather than transgress even what we today might recognize as a small part of the law, one which really was just a discipline, was not a matter of something being inherently evil, something inherently opposed to God's will, but rather than do even anything against the Lord's will. They chose martyrdom. Now, the corollary would be if us today were given the choice between martyrdom and intentionally committing what we knew to be a venial sin or something that the church asked of us, such as not to eat meat on Fridays during Lent. There are some saints whose love of God is so intense that they would not be tempted by that. They would very readily give up their life rather than commit even a venial sin in the eyes of God. And so that would be the corollary there. And that's the challenge to all of us who would think lightly of putting aside the discipline of the church to save our own life or to give ourselves comfort. So we today, we're not under the law of Moses. We're under the new covenant, the law of Christ, what St. Paul speaks about in Galatians. And ceremonial foods are not part of this law. So there's my answer for you.
Okay, you still with us, Anonymous? How was that for you? Anonymous, are you still there? Okay, yeah, it sounds like he's listening on the radio, which probably has a short delay there. Anonymous, sorry about that, but I hope that helps you out somewhat. And thanks so much, and be sure to look for Shane's book as well as you go about getting your great reading material for your personal and spiritual edification. All right, John in Oceanside, California. John, you're up next on Immaculate Heart Radio. Thanks for calling, John. You're on with Shane Kapler.
Shalom, brothers.
Shalom, John.
I'm just curious about this. Probably sounds like a very weird question. I was just wondering, is there any correlation between the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Book of Hebrews? Did one precede the other as far as historical writings?
Sure, John. Well, I would say that all of the Dead Sea Scrolls would have preceded Hebrews writing. And these are what we believe to be scrolls used by the Essene group, a Jewish sect that went out into the desert and had a library there. And of course, they had to hide those scrolls prior to Rome's destruction of Jerusalem so that they wouldn't be lost. Now, as far as connections between the Dead Sea Scrolls and Hebrews, I do talk about some in the book because the Dead Sea Scrolls help us recognize what was being believed by first century Jews. And one of our – I mean the writer of Hebrews is a first century Jew who's come to believe in Christ writing to other Jewish Christians. So one thing is Hebrews talks about Jesus as a priest in the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek is a figure who we see in the Dead Sea Scrolls that the Essenes believed was going to play an important part in the end times. So that's one comparison that you can make. Another is that when we look at the Dead Sea Scrolls and we read that phrase, works of the law, which we know from Paul's writings. And one of our earlier callers was saying how we're not saved because of our works. Well, when Paul says we're not justified by works of the law, but by our faith in Christ, what does he mean? When we go to the Dead Sea Scrolls and look at works of the law, the same phrase appears there, and it refers to ceremonial precepts, circumcision, food laws, just like we were talking with our last caller about. These are not the moral laws, the material of the Ten Commandments that we see reflected in natural law, and which, of course, are carried over under the law of Christ and really intensified with Jesus. It's not that Jesus has done away with the moral requirements. That's part of God's eternal law, what it means to be created as men and women in his image. We act in a certain way, and that's part of the law of Christ. So those are two things that jump out to me between the Epistle to the Hebrews and the Dead Sea Scrolls. The other is a bit more wide-reaching, and that's that when we look at the Dead Sea Scrolls, what we recognize is that the Old Testament did not exist in one fixed form in the first century. The Essenes, they recognize more books as being inspired than, say, the Sadducees and the Pharisees did. So we will find the book of Sirach and the book of Tobit, two books that are in the Catholic Old Testament but are not included in modern Jewish Bibles or in Protestant editions of Scripture. But they are included there. We have fragments among the Dead Sea Scrolls. So we see them being used as inspired by that group of Jews, as well as by Jewish Christians. So I should probably leave it there, though. I know we're short on time. So thank you so much, John. That's a great question.
All right, John, thanks very much for joining us on Catholic Answers Live. Moving along here with Shane Kapler, looking at the Epistle to the Hebrews, and in particular the Communion of Saints. Tom is in Baldwin, Missouri, probably not too far from where Shane is. Hi, Tom. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Tom. How are you?
Hi, it's Shane. This is Tom. You may remember me from God's Gang.
Of course I do. How you doing, brother?
Well, I'm doing fine. I hope you guys celebrate. I hope you guys have a great celebration for Pentecost this week. I know I'm going to be celebrating it tomorrow at Mass. But my question was, with the in the Communion of Saints, when a lot of times I use a litany of people to pray for me, but these aren't all saints that the church has recognized as saints. But I usually invoke their names in my prayers to pray for me. How does the church feel about that? I'm gonna take the answer off the phone. I'm gonna listen on the radio because I can't hear you very well on my phone. So I'm gonna listen on the radio.
Okay, Tom. Well, first, Tom, thank you for calling in. I've known Tom since I was 13, and
is that right?
He was part. Yeah, Tom was one of the adult leaders at a prayer group for teens that I attended, and he had just a tremendous role to play in forming my faith. So, Tom, thank you, and thanks.
Well,
for
be
the
careful,
question.
Shane. You're going to make him feel old.
Not my intent. Not my intent. It is permissible to ask other members of the Communion of Saints to pray for us. And I say that because the church allows us to not just pray for the souls who are in purgatory, but to ask the souls in purgatory to pray for us because we are joined to them in Christ. You know, when we talk about purgatory, even if we're not sure that someone is already beholding God face to face in heaven and fully entered in to that glory and that joy of eternal life, we're still connected to these members of the body who may be undergoing purification so that they can fully enjoy heaven, fully enter into that life. And we can ask them to pray for us. You know, I think there's a tendency where we think of purgatory as somehow being people set to the side. Like they're no longer on earth, but they're not in heaven. They're just kind of set to the side. And that's not correct. I mean, they are still members of the body, still cells of Jesus' mystical body, and they are drawing nearer to heaven than we are. Hebrews talks about how God is a consuming fire. And Pope Benedict, Cardinal Ratzinger, before he became Pope Benedict, wrote in his book Eschatology, talking about purgatory as that process of being purified, which is a personal encounter with God, who is a consuming fire. And as he touches us, God's love is what burns away everything in us that is not ready for heaven, not fully ready to embrace him. And so, of course, we can ask these brothers and sisters to pray for us. And so I would say what you're doing in your litanies, Tom, keep on doing. And after you've asked them to pray for you, just please remember to pray for them if they're not in glory yet, that the Lord gives them that healing, looses them from whatever that bondage is that's keeping them from fully enjoying his presence.
All right, Tom.
So thanks
so much
calling.
For your call. Absolutely. Okay, 888-318-7884. Hour number one of Catholic Answers Live for a Friday, entering the home stretch with Shane Kapler, our guest, talking about the letter to the Hebrews and how it really draws out so beautifully the communion of saints. When we hear that phrase, we often think of, well, when we say canonized saints, like from the New Testament church, but as we see in Hebrews, it really gets into some of the, as Shane called it earlier, the hall Hall of Fame, some of the Old Testament saints, our older brothers and sisters in Christ. So if you have a question about any part of the book of Hebrews, and in particular how it deals with that, the family of God we call saints, 888-318-7884. Kathleen, you're going to be next. We got Noah in Stockton, and more time for your call if you'd like to join us.
Bringing you the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Right now, Catholic Answers is conducting its summer campaign. It's a crucial time because we need to offset the drop in donations that occurs every summer. If you're able to give $50 or more, to thank you for your support, we have several gifts we'd like to send you. First, a signed copy of the full 3-CD set, Lepanto, The Battle That Saved the West, so that you can get the full story about this crucial, history-changing intervention of Our Lady of the Rosary. We'll also send you the three latest volumes in our 20 Answers series. They cover apparitions and revelations, witchcraft and the occult, and the church. If you're able to donate $90 or more, we'll also send you Carlo Broussard's CD, Your Truth, My Truth, How to Understand and Refute Relativistic Thinking, which has a free 38-page downloadable study guide. We'll also send you Stephen Weidenkopf's 2-CD set, The Real Story of the Reformation, just in time for its 500th anniversary. And we'll send you Dr. Edward Sree's new book, Who Am I to Judge? Responding to Relativism with Logic and Love. Finally, if you're able to donate $180 or more, we'll also send you Trent Horn's 12-part audio interview series, The Apologetics Collection, in which he picks the brains of people like Carl Keating, Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Patrick Madrid, Steve Ray, Devin Rose, and more on a host of the most pressing apologetic issues. Finally, we'll send you a hardback copy of the beautiful, illustration-filled book, Fatima Mysteries, Mary's Message in the Modern Age, just in time for the celebrations happening now of the famous Fatima apparitions, which took place exactly 100 years ago. Every year, Catholic Answers seeks to win souls for Christ in countless ways, but we can't do this without your help. To learn how you can help Catholic Answers, visit Catholic.com and click the 2017 Summer Campaign banner. That's the 2017 Summer Campaign banner at Catholic.com.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to the faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Going straight back to your calls here with Kathleen in Denver, listening on Sirius XM 130. Kathleen, so glad you joined us on Catholic Answers Live today. Welcome.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. I had a full bar, so now I might be down to one, so forgive me.
No, well, go ahead.
As long as you can hear me. Is it possible to experience the communion of saints outside of Mass?
Kathleen, I would say yes. Why do you ask? Can you flesh that out?
Yeah, I was at work, so I'm like a practicing Catholic, and I love it, and I know I'm carrying a cross, but some days my joy is so overwhelming that I share some things with my colleagues. There's five men I work with, and all five of them are baptized Catholics. None of them have even had their children baptized. And today, I shared with them, just on a whim, I shared with them something that I used to do that it's very sinful and very bad. And about 3 hours after that, one of the guys, he was like, "Kathleen, I can't believe that you used to be addicted to this." And I said, "You know what? I did." And then they were, and it's all men, so trying to make it like a funny thing. I said, "But you know what? I don't want to share with you any more about this because I don't want to experience something that would make either or any of you want to experience that sin." And it was like almost as if, because I'm on day 8 of the novena for the Holy Spirit, it was as if the saints were reminding me, you don't want to let go of us. You don't want to let go of Jesus. And it was like literally I stopped in my tracks of the direction the conversation was going, and then we just stopped. It stopped, and it went back to, let's go to work. And it was And it was like, you know, kind of a just a beautiful mystery. And so it was like very timely that the Communion of Saints would be your discussion today, because I'm like, could they have possibly have been, some saint could have been there and been like, hey, knock it off. Or are they only at the Mass?
Well, no, they aren't. And I'll say it like this, Kathleen, that the Communion of Saints means that because you were joined to Jesus Christ, you were fused to him in baptism. And so is each, every other baptized person. We're all fused together in Jesus, united in the Holy Spirit. So if you're united to Jesus right now, you are also united to the Communion of Saints, no matter where you are. It's the body of Christ. And of course, that extends outside of Mass. Now, we do experience the Communion of Saints in a very incredible way in Mass, because there we're entering into Christ offering to the Father, which is becoming present on the altar and which is eternally present before the Father in heaven. And the book of Revelation shows the saints and angels around God's throne entering into the priestly ministry of Christ, where we know from Hebrews that it says Jesus lives to make intercession for us. And so when John the Apostle sees heaven in the book of Revelation, not only is Jesus there before the Father's throne, but so are the elders, the saints who Jesus has brought into the Holy of Holies, into God's presence, and they're holding golden bowls full of incense, which it says these are the prayers of God's saints on earth that they are pouring out before the Father. So Jesus lives to make intercession for us. And one of the ways he manifests that is through the members of his church who've already entered into glory. And so in the Mass, we're entering into that. And hopefully that's carrying over into our daily life, that we're uniting the rest of our day with Christ's offering that's made present in that sacramental, physical way there at the altar, but it's being carried over spiritually into everything we do. And so, yes, most definitely the Communion of Saints is present to us, no matter where we are. As Hebrews says, through that great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us and is cheering us on to the finish line that they've already reached.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful teaching. Does that help, Kathleen?
It does. And Shane, but the funny thing is I just finished. I mailed each one of them are receiving a Mass card for Father's Day. And it was,
wow.
Today was the last day that I mailed the last card. That's not a coincidence. I mean, it is so powerful to keep praying for those that don't believe. And that God will encourage us when, you know, I'm at my wit's end. I'm using my sin as a way to evangelize. And then God, or the saint, somebody recognized in addition to myself, like, I don't need to go back to my sin, but I need to bring them, show them the importance of, I'm not that person anymore, and God doesn't want you to be that person either, so let's go, right?
Well, and Kathleen, that's you manifesting the Communion of Saints, that Jesus is expressing his love for them through you and his priestly intercession, which is calling forth that grace of conversion from the Father. Part of that is he's manifesting that in you, in your prayers for them. So, wow, this is all, like you said, it all fits together so beautifully.
Yeah, and if I could just tag just a quick comment onto that too, just what Shane just said. I mean, Kathleen, God, the thing is, I really believe, it's my belief, that we're going to win more people if we're real and authentic with them and we share our own sinfulness and our own weakness and our own wounds and traumas and you know, following up on that, what God has done in our lives. And so, if they look at you as just this perfect, holy, you know, a fully all righteous Saint Kathleen right now, instead of, as you said, you want to just share with them, hey, you know what, I've been through some struggles before, but God has changed my life. That's what will change other people's lives. So kudos to you, Kathleen. Nice job. Thanks for your call here. We are going to get to Noah real quick here. Got about three minutes, Noah. So if you can be concise here, Shane Kapler can help you out.
Oh, hi. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, Noah.
I was just calling because a lot of non-Christians, a lot of non-Catholics, and including some, a lot of non-Catholics and even some Catholics, kind of say that double saints, they say that we don't need them because we can go straight to God, because they say that only God is omnipresent and the saints are not. And they cannot get very angry about trying to defend and saying, oh no, only through God, only through Jesus you can be salvation. So I'm going to just listen to you guys and see what you guys say.
Okay, Shane.
Okay. Yeah, Noah, great question. And Noah, there's a great deal that we can say. We agree with many principles that those people are voicing to you, that yeah, salvation is through God alone. But God works through his people. I mean, I'm sure that they had someone in their life who told them about the Lord Jesus and got them reading scripture and encouraged them and pray for them. Well, that's the communion of saints. But we recognize that that is not just the saints here on earth who do that for us, God's people on earth. It's the saints in heaven too. And as we were just talking with Kathleen, of course those saints are united to us. They're members of the body of Christ. You can't be united to Christ Jesus and not be united to the other cells in his body. It makes no sense whatsoever. St. Paul, direct them to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he talks about the body of Christ. Each one is a member, and we need each other in that body. The hand needs the foot, and vice versa. We have a role to play because Christ Jesus set it up that way. He could have did it a different way, but he loves us, and he wants us to love one another. He wants to form a family. From the beginning of Scripture until its end, God is forming a family. That's the overarching idea here. And you know, if they say that the saints can't play a part in our prayer, what about Jesus? Go to Luke chapter 9 at his transfiguration. When Jesus was at prayer, the apostles saw him transfigured. His face became like the sun. And what did they see in Jesus' prayer? Moses and Elijah, two Old Testament saints, are there with him. So as Jesus communicates with the Father, the communion of saints is also present. And if that was true of Jesus, who is our model in everything, then it should be true of us as well.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us on the program today. We appreciate that. And Marie and the others, we are just simply out of time. But Shane, you've got a really fantastic website, and I would love to have you kind of explain, give people a little snapshot of what they'll find at explainingchristianity.com.
Sure. Jerry, if they go there, they'll find more information about all the books. They can see what's in the table of contents for each of them. Also, there's links to a lot of online articles, a lot of them through Catholic Exchange and Epic Pew, Catholic Lane. Also, past radio interviews. So as soon as we put up the podcast to this, there will be links to that. And a link to my blog, too. I think there's probably 500 blog posts. If I'm sure there are some issues there they might find interesting if they want to check it out.
Well, good job, Shane. Thanks so much. Fantastic work today on the program. And again, dear friends, that is Explaining Christianity. Very easy website to remember, explainingchristianity.com, where you will find all of Shane's books, I'm sure, including the one we've been talking about today, The Epistle to the Hebrews and the Seven Core Beliefs of Catholics. Shane, great job. Thank you. And thank you for passing along my greetings and congratulations to Patty and their son, John, on his ordination. God bless you.
God bless you, Jerry. Thank you.
Okay. Second hour coming up. You know him as the host of The Doctor Is In. Dr. Ray Guarendi is going to join us. He talks about discipline that lasts a lifetime. A lot of parents, a lot of moms and dads really don't quite understand, you know, how they should or even if they should discipline their kids. Are you going to lose their love? Is it going to turn them away from you? Are they going to just get mean and angry because of it? Well, I think the opposite of that is true. We'll talk about that with Dr. Ray next hour. Stay with us.